Hello, we are opening our lesson with the study of Shamati articles. We're in article number 45 from Baal HaSulam, two discernments in the Torah and in the work. You can find the study materials on our site or in the Arvut system up on the top icon where it says study materials. You can ask questions during the lesson. Pertinent questions to the lesson will be aired during the lesson. Rav, please.
With respect to man, the attitude to the Creator can't be simple. It's always complex. Because on the one hand, also with respect to parents, perhaps we can liken it to it. There's both love and fear, because on one hand there's a difference in the degrees and you're under the rule of the upper one, and that's because you're already in the will to receive, and it determines your attitude to it. And by nature, you depend on it. And this dependency is egoistic. Even if you transition it to a different kind of attitude, you're still dependent, you're not free. And therefore, fear is, there's corporeal fear that you depend on where you came from. He will always be initial and he's first and last, and after this detour that passes through us, it all comes back to him. And so here we have a dependency. We're under control, such that we can't even describe. It's possible that we attain some of him, but is it really true? We don't know. It's like a baby who thinks it's independent, but it's completely under the rule of his parents. And here is the question, how can it be dependent on the parents in a free conscious way, feel that it has free choice, free action, and that he can benefit them, just like it says about the Creator, I'm first and I'm last. So the created being too should essentially reach a state where he says, I'm first and I'm last. Otherwise the adhesion won't be free. It'll be like a master and a slave. And so in our work, besides the work, there is also Torah, which means that we receive forces and discernments from the Creator in order to rearrange our attitude correctly towards the Creator, but also we can't learn who the Creator is. We only learn him according to how he created us. We never attain him. When we say the Creator, Bore, come and see, we come to attain the connections between us, the relationship between us. And this is how we can better and better describe who is the upper force that created us. And this is called, by your actions we know you, through his actions in us, in human society, in everything, we get to know that emotion, that mind, that force that created everything. And so that gives us some attainment of the Creator, if we can even call it as such, some depiction of the Creator. And so in our work, there is the matter of Torah that we attain and also work that we do. And out of both, we ultimately compose our relation to the Creator. And when we do, we from composing it, we build the image of the Creator. It's not really image, it's the essence of the Creator within us, to the extent that we build ourselves by adapting ourselves better and better to that unknown force. In some subtle ways that we can adapt ourselves. So what we end up with when we collect and collect and collect, what are we collecting? We are collecting opposites, differences from the Creator, but it's already something that's opposite, and we try to invert it, to arrange it correctly. And from these shatters, we have to regroup them in the right connection, and then we come to what we realize, which is the Creator, his essence, his form, his relation towards us. What he is in and of himself, that we don't attain. But with respect to us, that's what we can attain. From arranging the relationships between us after the shattering that was prepared for us, and when we correct that shattering, then bit by bit, from various points or details of the correction of the shattering, that's how we come to a state where we acknowledge the essence of the shattering, what was shattered here, how we have to correct it, that is, bring it to correction, to connection, to some connection, some relationship, some dependence that will happen between the pieces, that they will interconnect and complement each other. And this complementation is truly a godly matter. This is where we find godly wisdom, how each and every component is created to the other, and why this is the great work that we can sometimes somewhat grasp through our universe, looking at how big it is and vast and shattered and yet connected and with opposites that are interdependent. And we have to see all of it as a single integrated system where there is no surplus, no lack of anything, not an atom, not an action that's missing. Everything is orchestrated, even though it seems to us so shattered. When we rearrange our mind and our emotion, when we collect all of that, to a system which is a single desire and a single force that resides in that desire. And then we come to the state that precedes the shattering. This is called Him and His name are one. So that's why our work is a work that happens in several paths or directions, and that's because we're broken. And we ultimately have to reach a state where the light and the Kli are equal. Him and His name are one. He is the light, the upper light, bestowal and love that resides in his name, which is his vessel, the vessel, the will to receive that was created, which receives the quality of the light, the quality of the Creator. And even though it's opposite to it, it exists in the same direction of work and yearning and connecting as the Creator. These are things that are hard to explain, difficult to explain. What's interesting is each time it comes out anew, because the person changes each time. And it's like in mathematics, you do the same equation each time, but the data in the equation changes. And then sometimes you end up even with a different approach, where you need to solve the same formula with a different approach to what you saw, how you solved it before. It all depends on the data that you're working with, especially where our data, in our case, appears on a different level each time, still vegetative, animate, speaking, and so it turns out everything's changed. And so the Kabbalists advise us, those who already went through this path, to not be overwhelmed by it, because we're in it, and it's not that we can look at it from above. It's not the wisdom of the world in that sense. It is godly wisdom, meaning that we need to somewhat participate in it, somewhat get an impression, some understand something, but just enjoy being in it. And be grateful to the Creator for this opportunity we've received. And the main thing is this approach that we wish to be included in His wisdom, included in His quality. This is what provides us with new vessels, vessels of bestowal that we're missing. And then we begin to feel, and after we feel, we understand what we're going through. And it's not that we understand first and feel later. We first have to feel, because the true vessels are the will to receive. And to the extent the will to receive participates in actions in favor and against and in different shapes and forms, then accordingly it can understand things that it's going through and how much it's connected to that, and then even respond to it in different ways, in favor and against, and thus acquire a new approach above reason, new vessels, vessels of faith. And we'll try to advance this way, in short. Main thing is we need to not long for the goal that much, which is important, but we need to enjoy being part of these actions, like a baby being in its mother's hands. Mother's taking care of everything, don't worry. She's taking care of it. But by giving ourselves to these actions, and as much as we can, becoming included in them, accordingly, we give the Creator the ability, the opportunity to enjoy us. And with that, we will feel me for my beloved is for me, through this pleasant reciprocity, this devoted reciprocity. With that, we will feel the work of the Creator, and the work of the Creator is the Creator's work upon us. Meaning, if we think that we're supposed to do the work, then our work is only as much as we can to be the right baby in these loyal, caring hands. And we enjoy the Creator taking care of us. So the first concern that we need to have is that we enjoy the Creator's existence, that He's taking care of us, that He's bringing us closer to Him each and every moment, and we want to first relieve ourselves from all concerns if we have the upper force. And if so, developing the sense of fear is only in how much can I nullify myself towards this upper force, towards the Creator. Do I come to a state with all the problems and troubles in my mind and everything that I've got? Can I still be with all of that like a baby in its mother's hands? You understand that the form of that, how much that is faith, devotion, participation. Together and answer it. We have to try to first see the end. In the end of this question and answer part, I have to achieve some partial adhesion, somewhat. So in my state, I have to reveal the deficiencies, what's preventing me from that, what do I need to achieve that, how do I need to connect positive and negative things so they interconnect like a plug and an outlet, like something lack and something that goes into it. One thing goes into the other and completes the other. And so if I try to do that, then I see that there's many questions and problems and all kinds of things that I can't put together. So then how do I do it? By the force of faith. As it says, it's not up to you to finish the job, but you're not free to idle from it. So, as much as I can, I try and put together all these things that I stumble upon on the path in my mind and heart so that I justify the providence of the Creator in each and every moment. And along with it, I realize that it's not up to you to finish the job, meaning certainly you'll be left with some portions, areas that you can't do anything about. What do? You keep them. They remain. Let them be. These are things that relate to your participation in the whole global kli. In each and every individual action we do, there's always a part that does not end, that is open, that is not closed, and that's because we have to ultimately connect to the whole global kli, and then who knows what happens, maybe the 7th and 8th and 9th and 10th millennium will open up other worlds, because ultimately we have a connection to because ultimately we have a connection to Ein Sof, infinity. And so we have to try to do what's up to us and always leave room for the Creator. It says it's not up to you to finish the job, to complete the work. That's a law that I do the action. I do everything so as to see. This is what I understand, that is what I understand, and ultimately, what is it that I understand? That I am incapable. That I want to bring the pluses and minuses together, the opposite forces, and it doesn't work out for me. Never. It's never going to work out. It's like a child that's trying to push a square peg into a round hole. It's not going to work. So I leave that to the Creator. I leave it to the Creator. And then that's how we advance. As it says, it's not up to you to finish the job. Right, not to finish it. Not to worry about it, about that. If I've done everything I'm capable of, what's up to me? It's not a university or school here where if I don't know something, then I'm thrown out ultimately to a lower class or I'm expelled from school altogether. No. Here, everyone has a place. Everyone comes to the purpose of creation. The question with regards to what's up to us is just this. How whatever you're able to do, you have to do. And then what you see that you're incapable of, fine. The Creator finishes it for me. I don't need to be the strongest, the wisest, and more than the Creator. No. The engagement that we were given in this world is so that in each and every degree, we will need the upper force and rise up to him more and more, feeling that we're incapable. And this is also what's happening to us in this world with all of the diseases and crises and climate change and so on. It's in order to feel that we need the upper force that's in control of ultimately everything. That's all. No more than that. The moment we feel, we understand that's how it is, let him work. As it says, and there will be a day when he becomes a king over the whole earth, and him and his name are one. And that's what we need, not just at the end of the road, but also in our work in each and every step.
Yeah.
So I hear that people can't, they don't remember, they don't know. With your mind, with your what you're incapable of and what you don't remember and all that, with that you want to enter spirituality? That's ignorance. Our mind doesn't even enter the spiritual world, the spiritual dimension. There is a different reality, different laws, another dimension. Therefore, we just have to do what we're told, and if we can't, then the one who gave us this work in advance knew that we can't do it. But why did it give it to us? So that we ultimately discover that we can't, and we need him, like the child. He's doing some things, and then he cries to mommy and says, it's not working out. And that's the desired result. This is what we, as a humanity, all of us are like a kid trying to do something with our own mind, and look what's happening, another mistake and another trouble, and we try to develop it, and we invest so much and talk seriously about the things that we do in the world and our plans and our programs for the future. We're going to build this or that and do this or that. And in truth, we come to a point already where what can we build? What can we do? What is going to be the result? Same as the past? So, the more we understand how to approach the upper force, that is our success. That's how we will succeed.
Раф, из ваших вступительных слов,
восприятие исправленной системы одного частного. From your opening words, how does the perception of the corrected system influence one and the whole system? And why is it important that for each of us to yearn for the state of the state that is corrected for all of the system?
In the shattering, each one is included with everyone else. So there's a matter here of if you correct the 10, then to some extent you're correcting the whole kli. And that's why, first of all, the group and the connection in the group is important for each and every one of us. By that, we already correct the whole of Adam HaRishon, and to that extent, we already are registered in the final correction. And that's what each and every one does. From the whole kli that was shattered, now what's becoming revealed is a part of that kli that can make the action of connection. If our tens, let's say we have 1,000 tens in the world. Let's say something like that. And how many do we have? Mushi. How many tens do we have? All over the world. Like 700. Okay, let's say 500, 700, or tens. Okay. So the Creator sorts out all of this, and with that we're going to advance. If we are advancing, then we are first. Our problem right now, our challenge right now, is how are we going to connect ourselves inside the tens with all the troubles? And these troubles are not just our troubles. They're troubles that exist in all of humanity. And still, when we connect, we each time achieve a certain connection in Adam HaRishon. And then again, we separate because new Rishimot appear in us. And then we do it again. And we think we're unsuccessful. But it's not that we're unsuccessful. If new states arise from the shattering of separation, of something opposite, it's an indication that we've succeeded in the state before. And so we are given new problems. And so each and every time, more and more, we have to work on that. And that's basically for the whole of humanity. It's for the whole of humanity.
Unity 3.
Unity 3.
Доброе утро.
Good morning. Rav, how can we define that part of the work that I need to leave to the Creator and not be stubborn and try to do everything with my forces? Does that come with experience?
What kind of work you mean that you don't need to do? You have to do, as it says, whatever your ability allows you to do, you have to do. But you do what's up to you, and what's up to you is to do something simple that's right in front of you. You have a 10, organize them in your heart so that they're all connected. So they're all connected. Try to relate to them in such a way that they're standing in your heart. Of course, each one stands there in his own different way, different from the others, and you wish to discover the binding force, the common force between them, the common mind, the common desire, inclination. That's what you wish to renew each time. Not that it's constant all the time. You recognize that these things become corrected each and every time. And therefore, they go through changes. And that's why each and every moment there is a start and stop. There's a disconnect, and then you work on connecting. Another disconnect, and you work in connection. Like Baal Shem Tov says, 200 or 400 such disconnects and connections that happen within minutes. That's how it's happening. It's like in our technology, that if you're moving forward, you're moving to a higher frequency.
Florida.
Thank you, Rav. Also, in your introduction, I heard you say that we have to come to this state like the Creator, who is the first and the last. What does it mean to be the first and the last?
Creator, first and last. Well, in a simple way, there's a lot, because in each and every moment, our whole vocabulary changes. First and last, meaning that everything comes from the Creator, and He accompanies us in the solutions that He provides to the problems that He's bringing us, as well as leading us to the outcome. And so there's no place where we are alone, which might seem to us to be the case. And so the adhesion with the Creator in each and every moment in life, doesn't matter what happens, that I wish to do everything only to the extent that I can be bonded with Him, with the conditions that He's given me. And it could be very bad conditions for adhesion, and where I've got nothing and I'm confused, emotionally confused, and I feel bad even. Yet I have to make an effort. And then it turns out I reach a state where the Creator is first and the Creator is last, and there's none else besides Him. And He transitions me from state A to state B, from the first to the second state. And thus I advance. Meaning, He's first and last means that I try to be in adhesion with Him in all. Whatever it is that we feel.
How can I nullify before something that's not yet attained in me? How can I be like a baby towards it?
There's no problem. There's no problem. I have a group, and I nullify towards the group because I understand that if we want to achieve some perception higher than myself. So a higher perception than myself is a collective perception. A collective perception. Not that I'm this egoistic spike, but rather a group of people who can nullify their ego and connect above their ego through a common mind and a common emotion, they are greater than me. I'm just talking about this in a rational, down to earth manner. So why can't we? No, the question itself is, it's unrealistic. Think about it. We're always talking about that.
something not right with the general internet here. You said that the Creator is letting us feel that every single degree we need to be dependent on Him. What the Creator doesn't want us to be independent, why should we be dependent on Him?
No. He gives us seemingly independence, but we, above that independence He gives us, we have to be more and more connected to Him. Connected or dependent on Him doesn't mean that we completely nullify. We nullify above these qualities in mind and heart that He develops within us. I become stronger, greater, wiser, more sensitive, more knowledgeable. And so all these things, I want to arrange them in such a way that I will relate them more to the Creator and direct them to the Creator, so that all my growth is towards the Creator, is for the Creator Himself. And why do I want to understand and feel it and grasp Him more and more? In order to give myself to Him above what I feel and understand, above the mind and heart. And so then I discover Him there. Hello, Rav. In this regard, what does it mean the Creator finishes it for me?
That all the actions we do, the Creator will complete for me. That eventually I don't decide anything, don't understand anything, and don't feel anything. I receive it all from the Creator, and I come specifically through my intellectual and emotional development in fear and love to such states that develops myself through these steps. Altogether, I understand the extent in which I have to nullify. But this nullification I acquire according to the extent of my understanding and feeling and the extent of my attainment. And as much as I understand more and feel more and am adhered more to the Creator, specifically according to that, we attain adhesion. Let's do it in such a way. We all were babies and then children. And then we were youths, we grew, we have families, we have children, and now we think about our parents, about our mother, let's say. The extent in which she invested in us. So when can I be more adhered to mother? Where I, let's say now, I'm 75, and I'm reminded of how she cared for me with loyalty and with love, or was I young? Meaning until we come to such degrees that are similar somewhat to being like our parents, we cannot appreciate their work. And certainly it's the same with the Creator. Only to the extent in which we grow can we resemble Him. That's it. Maybe you can take such an example.
Good morning, Rav. We are praying, we build our prayer that the Creator will connect us, for instance, in the lesson preparation. But nothing, let's say, nothing happens. Is there a way to rise to the degree of the operator, that I will be the operator and then something will change? Is it possible to rise to that level?
How can you compel the Creator to connect between you? Think about it. That's the main thing. How can we obligate the Creator to connect between us? He broke us, and we're demanding from us, and we're demanding Him to connect between us. And when we succeed in our demand for Him to connect between us, that's called, my sons have defeated me. I broke them, and they're asking for me to connect them. That's the whole point. And what happens between the shattering and the connection? That we get to know the Creator every step along the way as we move from the shattering to the connection. Throughout this whole path, we need to understand who we are, who the Creator is, how we connect, whether we make mistakes or not. We scrutinize these things, and we scrutinize by what we can unite. The force of bestowal is not in us. We don't have it. We turn to Him. We ask, we demand, arrange this for us, please. We want this. We want, in order to be connected, in order to bring Him contentment by this, we want to return to the state of Adam Rishon, where He and His name were one, where we, with Him, together with you, we were together in complete final adhesion. And this is how we go through these stages of development, all together. So see how He's arranging for you every moment the new conditions. New conditions, maybe more difficult, but for you to need to ask Him, just to demand from Him, connect, connect, connect between us. That's what a 10 needs to do. And then the 10 operates on a 10 like that all the time. The upper light is in absolute rest, just like you're on a frying pan on the stove, on a hot fire. So it all depends on how you flip yourself on that fire. That's how you're preparing yourselves. But the upper light is there and is operating on all sides. It all depends on how we want to be connected. And the upper light, to the extent in which we're connecting between us, the upper light accordingly operates. That's according to what it works. And that's why it all it works. And that's why it all depends on the preparation.
We can mention in the prayer the names of the friends who came to the preparation,
You can do everything that you decide and feel that will help you in a more beneficial appeal to the Creator. And eventually, everything boils down to the prayer and the address.
Caro Rav, una domanda dalla decina. Ci hai detto di leggere e rileggere.
Hey Rav, question from the 10. You said to read and read again the articles of Shamati between us, and to share between us that we share, when we share our views, our opinions, we can confuse each other. Isn't it dangerous for each and everyone's soul?
We don't talk so much between us about what each feels and understands. We talk about how we can connect between us. Meaning, I'm not looking inside what I have inside me. I'm looking on the point of connection that there is outside me towards the friends. That's what we talk about more.
Yes, Oren.
Maybe to help continue the friend's question, he related to how we read the Shemati articles between us during the day. Yes. So he says, when we read the article and then we speak and we share our discernments about what we read, can my personal discernments confuse the friends, what I understood from the Shemati article?
It could be that it's confusing, but it also connects. And you can't. It can't be that we will talk in a nice, in some kind of clarified, finite way in talking between us. No. Rather, what can we do? We are all in the shattering, each talks from his shattered vessels. None of us is corrected or right or righteous. But nevertheless, we need to understand this and relate to one another in the right way. This is our vessel. Let's say, if my friend is talking nonsense, then first of all, I need to see in this two things. First of all, that certainly it's natural that he's talking nonsense. It's also a natural thing that I hear nonsense from him. Yes? And also, it's a natural thing that in such a way, we still relate to one another, because we're in a shattering. I have yet to hear from a mother that her baby is a fool or stupid. What are you laughing? No, really. I never heard that. On the contrary, he's wise, he understands, he feels. He's really trying to answer me with all his movements. He doesn't even know how to talk yet, yes? But you look at him, what eyes, what expressions. Look at what a mother thinks. You're looking at this little lump of flesh and you're thinking to yourself, well, it's like you're buying the store, like a piece of meat. That's what he looks like, yeah? And how impressed she is by him. Meaning it all depends on love. So if you look at your child, at your friend, and you understand that you're seeing in him all repulsive forms to you, then your ego is not letting you, it's not letting you see the beauty in the friend. Because if in place of you, the form of Bina, the upper Ima, would be here, she would be impressed by him and how beautiful and wise this baby is and how much he's growing. Yes? And you're like that. So we need to see these negative things and to depict to ourselves positive things that need to be. That's called love will cover all crimes. In the gap between that which I depict in my ego, in Malchut, and what I can depict in my desire to bestow of mine in Bina, if I can cover, meaning make a sandwich between Malchut and Bina, then from that I grow and raise the friend as well. And this is how we correct ourselves. Therefore, this is our work.
I don't know, Rav. Sometimes I am turning crazy. I am really, really turning crazy because you shattered me, the Creator, and I want to be corrected. I want to be in constant connection with you, and I don't want to be separated even 1 second. and I want this, and he has to fulfill me.
Yafe. No.
Nice. Well, and do you come to states in which he can do that? According to what I understand in the Creator, he is willing. The problem is only that you don't have a vessel.
How can I have a vessel?
What will you do? The correct desire. A vessel is called, I want to be filled with that which the Creator wants to give. The Creator wants to give only the force of bestowal, because that's what there is. Besides, the force of reception exists only in us, the small force of reception, so that we will feel how disconnected, how contradictive we are, and we will want to invert it. The force of bestowal is, the feeling for the force of bestowal is actually the fulfillment of the Creator. Opposite our world. So we need to prepare ourselves to this. Our preparation for this is in the 10. It's written about that in every place. Look at what in the book of Zohar, it's written about this all the time. Love thy friend as thyself. Everyone in the world agrees to that verse. I don't have anything more to bring to you. Only the things that you can read everywhere. Other than that, if you read in English, as I understand, then you have the entire wisdom of Kabbalah in English translated. You can take all the Zohar books in English and to see there everything. To correspond in English also there with them.
Okay, thank you.
I don't have anything more to say. I'm willing to help you in anything, but...
So, Rav, you say that main thing is connection with Ten. So I have to turn to my Ten to serve them, want to fulfill them, and through an intention towards my Ten, and that in that period that I get that frequency.
Yes. Specifically in the 10, even though it appeared to us as it's the path that leads us to the spiritual world. What is there in the 10 for the spiritual world? None of them is spiritual. They're all broken. They all appear to me that they're even less than me. Automatically, everyone feels that way towards others. And the situation is known. That's how it is with each and every one. So what can the 10 add for me? In truth, in the 10, none of them can add anything for me. The connection between us that we want to build, that's the new thing that does not exist in reality. In it, we need to build above the rejection between us. As each of us has different forms of rejection towards others, and we need to understand that we must be in one desire towards the Creator, in one yearning to the Creator. And only in such a way, we will build the vessel that the Creator will begin to fill. And to be in this more and more and more. Try like this a few days and you will see the extent in which you all of a sudden discover that you're building a new reality that didn't exist before.
Tel Aviv 4.
Tel Aviv 4.
Rav,
from our lesson, I understand that we will never reveal the Creator Himself, but only His relation to us.
You can reveal the Creator. It's a concept that's called Bo Ure, come and see. Where if you build the vessel of bestowal, and you work with it, then you will discover what the Creator is, and to that extent, you're adhered to Him, because you made Him. You made him. The creator doesn't exist. He only exists to the extent in which the creature makes him, invites him to be revealed. Otherwise, the creator does not exist.
So what's the difference between discovering his relation and him, the creator?
You can discover his attitude without revealing him because he spins all of reality. But you reveal him only to the extent in which you build qualities that resemble him. And then you discover that you built something that's called Bo Ure, come and see, creator.
In what constant search we have to be like a raider to perceive reality correctly, and through that we can get to know the creator.
No, I don't need to be with a radar towards reality that I don't know or understand. I'm not like the astronomers who are looking up in the skies and looking for things amongst the stars there. I don't need to work that way, and there's nothing to search for there anyway. I look inside the society and want for us to come as close as possible to one another. And of course, every given moment, I feel the extent to which we are distancing from one another. And then I understand that I'm in this work with the Creator. Where more am I in contact with the Creator? By me wanting to bring all the friends closer, to be as one man in one heart, and by the Creator constantly making our hearts tougher and harder and distancing us in such a way. So by distancing us from one another, He's doing His work. And the fact that we in the group do opposite work by bringing ourselves closer to one another, then we are against Him. And therefore, this concept is called a help against him. Where when the Creator distances between us in such a way, He helps us more and more to invest our forces in connection until we will accumulate all these forces. And He says, that's it, my sons have defeated me, and we reach connection and the revelation of the Creator between us.
Kolman.
Question from Mach 2. What does it mean that the Creator works with us? What is the work of the Creator?
What is it that the Creator is dealing with us? He's engaging in us all the time. It depends on our sensitivity to this. As much as we want in the connection between us to build the image of the Creator, the force of bestowal, love, connection, participation, then accordingly we will start to feel how He gives us also forces against it that evoke our ego. I've created the evil incarnation. And then in the connection between us, as we want to unite, on one hand, let's say, because we were told that this is the solution for our lives, and we also feel together with that the extent in which we are opposite and don't want. And then in these two forces, one is that we want to come closer to one another because by that we're closer to the Creator. And the second, in the rejection that we get from one another, because that's what the Creator does to us, because He wants to bring us to a state in which we will increase the force of connection between us to the extent in which we will have the force of rejection, and above that, the force of connection in a sufficient way towards the spiritual degree. And for us to persist in this, And then, between these two states, rejection and connection, this is called the force of clashing, or the force of coarseness in a degree, and above that, the force of connection, which is called restriction, a screen, and reflected light of the degree. Upon these two things that we are included by those two, we will start to discover contact with the Creator. And then in that, we will begin to understand how we can be connected to Him. You feel how we gradually, slowly, slowly are building our attitude towards the Creator, our relation, our connection between us and between the Creator. So the matter of our work, our spiritual work, is coming closer more and more to the work in a spiritual partzuf.
Question from Nepper. Why the will to receive has so many forms?
We need to see the structure of Adam Rishon. There are four phases in there, and then 10 Sfirot. And afterwards, these 10 Sfirot are divided into spheres of bestowing and of reception, and they're interconnected and intertwined between them until we reach their shattering. And when we reach their shattering, they are in a mixture between them and different kinds of incorporations, and then we need to correct them. These phases, these discernments, how do we connect according to the qualities in them and to the extent that they can be above those qualities? So that's why here we have many, many states. The qualities aren't much, but the states are. And we need try and aim all these states into the connection between us. Why is it so many? Because the vessel when it wants to reach adhesion with the Creator, it must be shattered into very, very small parts. And except for that, it needs to be mixed. That we'll do work and scrutiny of what connects to what and suits what. And then how we start connecting these to those and those. You understand, it's like you being before a big box with marbles or little blocks, but here it's millions of them. And you start sorting them out. These are circles. These are squares. These are triangles. These are those and such and such. And then, after you deal with it for a bit, you start understanding why they're so different, specifically for them to be able to connect between them. But in what can each one connect? Because once you start sorting them out, you understand that no one can connect to the other. So what will there be there? Only when each one annuls self towards the other, in that point of annulment between them, they can connect. Otherwise, there'll be corners between them, and there can't be a connection there. So each one is willing from that little point, that corner that doesn't want to connect to the other, he is willing to make it into a socket. Here, please, come into me. I am willing to accept you. And the other does that too. I'm willing to accept the first one. And in such a way, that's called a recognition of evil. That's already a state, a very great exalted state, where they ask for the forces of correction, that they will be given an ability, all those forms, shapes in that big box, that they will have an ability to connect to one another. Then when they start connecting, they understand that they don't know how to connect. Where will I find my partner now to connect with him? And him, and him, and him. How should I do it? And then the work of scrutiny starts, and then the work of correction. And in this way, eventually we all connect. But this is all under the condition that we don't throw away that connection between us, but understand that our future is in that inner connection between us. I don't need to love his face. And the way he expresses himself and his language and so on. No, I only want to locate in myself, to locate where he has desires that I can fill. And also to open myself to whomever wants to fill me. That's it. And then it turns out that on one hand of creation, one side of creation, there's the Creator sending all the fillings through us, and we are connected between us, and through us all this light flows and goes back to the Creator in order to bestow to Him. And that's how we are incorporated in Him.
From Moscow 6, how can we correctly depict the purpose of creation to the good, to the created beings, if from the beginning we are in the wrong perception of reality?
Obviously, we don't know what the purpose of creation is, and they're not letting us see it, because we wouldn't be able to understand it or attain it. No. The thing is, if we now would feel and understand the form of the purpose of creation, the form of Gemar Tikkun, so everybody would have run away. Everybody would run away. Because that's called that I'm working for everybody and I'm not demanding anything for myself. And I'm willing to be devoted and serve everyone without any compensation. That's how I see my work, my purpose, my life. That's why, in that way, we advance. I'm telling you, I'm not afraid that you're going to run away, because you're going to forget about it in a second. But still, to come closer to this state and practice, meaning to just relinquish everything on the next moment, that is something that we need the upper force, the upper light for it, and then we will be ready for it.
Shalom, Shalom, Piti Shesh.
Pity 6. If we build, make the Creator, He doesn't exist, then who are we asking from?
No, it's not that we're creating the Creator and He doesn't exist for now. So what does exist? The Creator, in the words, Bo'u'e, come and see that we need to build Him from our bestowal. That doesn't exist, that form. But still, there is an upper force that we turn to, and with His help, we build that upper force in us. To the extent that He's in us, that's what we're saying Bo'u'e about, come and see. Usually when I say Creator, God, all those names, so I turn to the force which is above me, and when I turn to the Bo'e, when I mean Bo'e, so I'm already speaking about the force in me, building the quality of bestowal in me. Bo'e, come and see. Yes, of course.
So how can we turn every action in this world into a prayer?
Usually, if we try to connect between us and the Ten, we very quickly understand that except for prayer, we have no other action. And all the actions that came before it were in order to bring us to that prayer. All of our work should be that we value our states. We understand that the Creator is beneficial here. He's leading us. That's the work. To give gratitude to the Creator for leading us. That's why here we start seeing how the quality of bestowal, the quality of bina, connects to the quality of reception of malchut, and how they begin, these two qualities start bestowing on one another, that in their mutual bestowal, these on those, bina on malchut, malchut on bina, they start these qualities to build systems. Each one swallows the other, and in it, like, cooks it.
Bina
is incorporated in malchut and builds her system in that. That's called zat of bina. And malchut is incorporated in bina and builds the systems of bina in her. That's called gal of the malchut. And also between them, as much as they can connect between them. And what are they connecting? Because still, each one remains in its own qualities, just with an external impression from the others. So how could there be a connection? What is happening with us if we're in desires and thoughts of our own, in mind and heart of our own, and also receive something from the outside, as much as the mind and heart, the influence of the mind and heart, the external influences my mind and heart, and as much as they can change me, to such an extent that I receive what's in them as mine, and I start working with them, and it could be that these qualities that I've received from the outside become in me, and maybe they even become more important than my previous qualities. That's the question. Meaning, there's a lot of things here that we will still need to go through. that we'll have not this superficial material to study, Malchut, Bina, Bina, Malchut, how it jumps up in Katnut and Gadlut, but that we will know how to work with these discernments ourselves. So, 86.
Da.
No, that the nekudot, the dots or the points, are divided into three phases. Osh tochsof, just like the potsof is divided into osh tochsof, also the nekudot. We have te'amim, nekudot, tagim, and otiot. Te'amim are the lights that expand from the pet to the tabo of the potsof. Nekudot are the lights that appear when they depart from the Paltzuf, meaning the light that was in the Paltzuf and bestowed upon it, that it doesn't want to receive more in order to receive, that it won't be in order to receive, so it itself expels the light. It stops itself from receiving the light that filled it. That's called Nekudot. Meaning, in every ascent and ascent from Malchut, from Tabu to Pe, there's a big overcoming that even though the inner light is very pleasant, it's a light of life that filled it. But now, it discovers that it can't be stay with this light of life, that it's very dangerous, that it can become in order to receive here, meaning that that fulfillment that appears as life can now be, it can become death, because it disconnects him from the Creator, from the source of life. And that's why there's a problem here, that the Partsuf, the Kli itself, expels the inner light that it was so pleasant for it. And in that inner light, it was specifically the connection, the hug, the adhesion between the created being and the Creator. But he has no choice. He must expel it because it's very dangerous for it. It could be that he enters in order to receive. And in that, his whole action will become a klipa.
Learning about them. There are other lights, more in addition, inner surrounding. There are parts of the vessels that are here. But our work is to scrutinize what, in effect, pushes the vessel toward connection, correction. On what depends a correction? The line. Where is it headed? Who's influencing it? That's what we want to know. Light is an absolute rest, but the will to receive is not able to move unless it is being moved, unless it's being helped. Hence, in order to develop the will to receive, you need an additional will to bestow, to work on it, and then the will to receive changes. And that's what we're talking about here, how the will to receive changes by the influence. All the lights are in the Patsuf. But we always speak of the lights that are now dictating the state of the Patsuf. So, if we are speaking of lights that come out of the Patsuf, we're speaking of Nekudot. Because inside these lights, Malchut is mixed, called the black dot. And because it influences the light, it expels it. That's why those lights that depart from the Partsuf are called Nekudot. That's what it's called.
Question from West 2. Are nekudot the lights after the corrections?
Nekudot are the lights that come out of the vessels, out of the restriction of the vessel. The pressure of Malchot that does not want, that cannot receive them in order to bestow. And then these lights feel a restriction. If they would feel the restriction in the Osh, then it would have been planned. But when they discover these lights as unwanted in the goof, then they're called nekudot. Where does it come from? Either there's a pressure of the surrounding light on the inner light, as it was in Galgalta and Ab, and then they push the lights into the toch of, from the toch of the kli, and the kli empties itself out, or other reasons. Nevertheless, nekudot is the light where the light. At the door to practical work.
From Ruth 6, what is light? It's energy, it's a force.
Light is everything. It's the appearance of the upper light relative to us, where we don't feel the upper one itself, only what we receive from it. It's like in our world, I never feel anyone, I only feel how I am impressed by someone. But not, it's not him by himself. Same thing with the upper light. What is received in the toch of the vessel from some outside source, it's called light. That's it, Kolman.
That's it, thank you.
Okay, thank you for the women, thank you everyone, and until tomorrow, we will read the article again. The article we were supposed to read today is not a simple article, because Rabash wrote it out of the words that Baal Sulam spoke, and we don't, and we know it on ourselves. We can speak sometimes smoothly, consistently, but you can't always do it. So, nevertheless, let's read it, let's divide it, organize it, and tomorrow morning we'll be more prepared to understand the article on all sides and deeply into it. Thank you, everyone. Have a good day.
So we're speaking about Shamati.